News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
We have with us Andrew Brownlee, who is CEO of the Construction Industry Federation. Now, Andrew, your members are significantly impacted across the board by the hike in fuel prices because it feeds into materials and it feeds into fuel usage itself in terms of transport costs and costs of getting people to sites. Has enough been done in this scheme? Because there is a way that construction workers apparently will be able to apply for some level of rebate. Does that cover off your losses?
It's really welcome to see the construction industry included as part of the fuel subsidy scheme. I mean, as you say, Anton, all the raw materials that go into building houses and developing infrastructure, the cement, the concrete, the steel, that's all generated from fuel intensive processes. If you think about construction sites, all the plant and machinery that's used, you know, the excavators, the diggers, the mobile cranes, that's all powered by green diesel or MGO fuel. So that 83% increase in the price of MGO fuel in a matter of weeks really has hit our industry hard. I think we're arguably more exposed in the agriculture sector when you bring the raw materials into it. So look, it's a very specific measure to deal with a very specific problem. But I suppose we're really encouraged, and we hope that the support will allow our industry to get over the hump. And I think, as Tanisha said yesterday, you know, it will give us allow us to kind of continue the momentum in terms of addressing the housing and infrastructure emergency that we have at the moment.
And in the case of your members in your industry, did you not have the capacity to simply pass on the costs that you incur to the ultimate consumer and purchaser?
No, absolutely not. You know, and look, a lot of our members, are involved in private contract work, so that often involves kind of fixed price arrangements. You know, there are viability decisions that need to be made in terms of the overall cost of delivering projects. So, you know, any kind of shock that's so short term and immediate and of the scale that we're talking about here, you know, 83% in a matter of weeks, you know, the construction industry consumes at least, you know, 250 million litres of MGO fuel to power its plant and machinery. So you're talking about an additional fuel cost of circa 200 million, you know, so that's substantial, and that really is disruptive. And so this kind of short term measure really will help our industry to continue to deliver the homes and build the infrastructure.
Andrew Brownlee, thank you very much. That's the CEO of the Construction Industry Federation, Andrew Brownlee. And with me is Barra Rountree, who is Assistant Professor of Economics at Trinity College Dublin. Barra, just to remind people, we're talking 500 million in excise cuts, then a targeted 100 million-ish to farmers, which will be available for 120,000 farmers to apply for. Then there is a targeted measure for hauliers decreasing as the haulage companies get bigger. Support for bus services and, as you've just heard from Andrew, supports for the construction sector, particularly for fuel for vehicles and plant equipment. The big question in advance of all of this was whether or not it would deliver on the two adjectives that are getting used a lot, targeted and temporary. What's your view on their success in that front?
I think it's very unlikely to be either of those things. So as well as all the 500 million and all those additional costs you just mentioned, there's, of course, the 250 million a couple of weeks before that they announced. So that's 750 million to take us through to the end of July. And I don't think anyone really thinks prices are going to have come down by then. So it's next to impossible, I would say, to imagine that these measures or some large subset of them won't be extended again come the end of July or come summer, when we start getting into the period when people are thinking about having to use fuel again domestically as well. There's going to be a lot of pressure to expand it out and bring in more people as people's energy bills and, you know, if electricity bills have gone up and electricity prices have gone up at that stage for kind of households. And, you know, and we see that the opposition are calling daily for more spending and more tax cuts on top of this. So I think it's, you know, to call it targeted, I think, is questionable, right? In particular, the fuel duty element of it, the cuts to that are in no way targeted. They're not targeted toward, in the sense that you would think of people who've been affected the most, right? We know actually that for households who are going to be big beneficiaries of lots of those fuel duty cuts, it's the larger, you know, it's the richer households who have multiple cars and bigger cars tend to spend more on petrol. you know, there's lots of people who don't actually have a car and don't spend very much in petrol, and they're not getting anything from what's been announced. But so it is not targeted in that sense. And again, I just find it very hard to believe that this is in any way temporary. And I think that's the big issue here. If this was just going to be a credibly temporary support, there might be a case for doing it. And there's some things that they've done sensibly, you know, basing it on the amount of fuel that was spent last year in terms of, as Sean Defoe was telling you on the program earlier on, those kind of things are maybe sensible to do. And again, if it was a temporary measure, that would be fine. But there's just very, very hard to see this not being expanded at significant cost. And that comes with big risks for public finances.
Now, does it in the context of public finances where we are led to believe that we are currently awash with money?
Well, I think that's we're led to believe. But again, we're awash with money on the face of it, just because of the activities of essentially a handful of American multinationals. And we've been told we're putting that money away and we're going to spend it in infrastructure. And that was what we were told the focus was going to be over the last year or two. Now suddenly it's, oh, well, if anything comes up, we're going to spend billions on it. We're just going to throw billions at it. Because, you know, there's some talk, I think, yesterday about Taoiseach saying, oh, well, we're not engaging in a mini budget. They're not, because what they've announced is equivalent in many years to a full budget. And particularly once it gets expanded out, you're talking about a tax cut package of, you know, upwards of 2 billion, I would say, once this is inevitably extended. And that's not a small thing. And so that's going to very, very quickly erode the kind of superficial surface that we have on the face of things, which, again, is only there because of all the money coming in from American multinationals, which we're not in control of ultimately.
It's highly unlikely that Apple and Lilly and Microsoft are going to up sticks and leave anytime soon.
Sure. We pray every day that something mad doesn't happen in the White House in Washington D.C. that leads one or any of them to change their activities. It doesn't require them leaving, it does require them reorientating stuff. But again, we've been told we're going to put this money that is coming in from these companies, we're going to spend on infrastructure and the chronic lack of infrastructure we have in this country because we, during the crash in particular, cut back massively. You know, we cut all those projects that were going to come in. That was the big mistake we really made then, was slashing back infrastructure, and that still has consequences today. And again, this stacks up very quickly. We'll start eating in very quickly into those reserves that we put away. If you end up having, okay, we're going to spend likely 2 billion plus this year, and then there'll be a push for households to get something as well. We saw how slowly and how long it took for energy credits to be withdrawn. So it's, again, if this was just a temporary thing, I think, you know, you'd be able to, if it was credibly a temporary thing, you wouldn't be so concerned. But I think the real concern here is that this government have shown no ability to really draw these things back in. They kind of go on and on and on. And again, even today, we're hearing that, you know, there's new sectors being included. So that's only going to increase the cost. And again, we're only in April. We're only a quarter of the way through the year. And we're talking already about, once you include as well the additional education spending and overspending that's been there, that already the budget is off by a billion and we're barely a quarter of the way through the year.
Barra, thank you. Barra Rowntree there, Assistant Professor of Economics at Trinity College Dublin, text to say there are hauliers who do have fuel surcharge arrangements with their customers. I assume, in other words, allowing them to pass the additional costs directly onto their customers. The text goes on to say, I presume this has been factored into the supports. Well, this is where the devil in the details starts to apply. We'll hear more throughout the day as further details emerge. 53106 or 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.